Quiet Mind, Day 49. Who's I anyway? The ego hijacks your name tag and how to steal it back. Let's talk about the most overused word in human history, I. Seems innocent, right? But this tiny word is doing some heavy lifting. Depending on how you see it, I is either your greatest trap or your gateway to truth. Most of us, we use it wrong. Every I, me, my, and mine that spills out of our mouths is like a little brick in the prison of ego. We think we are building a self, but we're just reinforcing a false identity. As Einstein put it, this illusion is like an optical trick of consciousness. And from this illusion, everything else in our worldview gets distorted. Our thoughts, our relationships, even our reality. But here's the good news. The illusion is fragile. It only sticks around if you believe it's real. Once you see it for what it is, poof, it starts to crumble. And in that crumbling, something beautiful peeks through, your real self, the one that was always there behind the noise. This chapter and the next digs into how that false identity forms and what happens when you start noticing it. So let's rewind. Ever seen a toddler say their own name in the third person? Shimmy hungry. Adorable, right? But then Shimmy levels up. He learns the magical word I, and boom, he's hooked. Now I gets wrapped around toys, snacks, feelings, stories. My toy becomes a battlefield, not because of the toy itself, but because it feels like someone stole a piece of him. The toy wasn't a toy, it was a piece of me. And this doesn't stop with toys. As we grow, the I attaches itself to our body, gender, opinions, careers, Instagram bios, traumas, dreams, coffee orders, you name it. We end up being a mashup of roles, memories, and labels held together by the fragile glue of mine. That mental combination is what most people mean when they say I. But spoiler alert, it's not actually you. When you say I 9 times out of 10, it's your ego talking. It's that inner narrator who thinks it's running the show. Most people don't even know there's a voice in their head, let alone that it's not them. They live fully possessed by that voice. If you tell them there's a constant stream of inner dialogue, they'll look at you like you're nuts, or worse, argue with you using the very voice they're denying. But then something wild happens. Maybe for a second, you notice it. You disidentify. You catch the voice mid-rant and realize, that's not me. You shift from being the thought to being the one who sees the thought. That is awareness. And even a tiny glimpse of it changes everything. Here's a story. A university student once encountered a woman on the subway who was visibly mentally unwell. She talked loudly to no one, locked in an angry argument with some invisible foe. Other passengers avoided her. She then exited the train and walked off, still deep in her monologue, and then to his amazement, she entered the same university building he was headed to. Was she a student? A teacher? A mystery. The encounter stayed with him. Later, while washing his hands in the men's room, he muttered, I hope I don't end up like her. But here's the kicker. He didn't think it. He said it out loud. And in that moment, he realized, wait, I'm doing the same thing. She talks out loud. I talk in my head. She's angry. I'm anxious. If she's mad, then maybe I am too. This wasn't madness. It was a moment of clarity. For a brief second, he stepped outside his own mind and saw it from a new vantage point. He laughed. The absurdity of it all hit him. Life isn't as serious as my mind makes it out to be. That laugh wasn't a joke. It was a crack in the armor of ego. But like most of us, he didn't stay in that clarity. He slipped back into anxiety and depression for years. It wasn't until he nearly hit rock bottom that awareness returned. This time, not as a glimpse, but as a permanent shift. The false I fell away. One more punch to the gut. Not long after that subway epiphany, one of his most respected professors, brilliant, intellectual, seemingly composed, died by suicide. The man who had all the answers was clearly drowning in the same inner turmoil. That loss deepened the student's suspicion. Maybe the intellect isn't the hero we think it is. Maybe thought is just a small corner of consciousness. And maybe it's not the way out. This chapter isn't just about philosophy. It's about seeing through the great misunderstanding we all grow up with. That who we are is our name, our story, our thoughts. But who you really are is far deeper than that. A still, spacious awareness beneath the noise. And the journey back to that truth, it starts when you stop blindly believing in I.